The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Second half of the show is live, and what a second half we have. We mentioned some of the guests that will join us. Brian Kelly at the end of this hour, the president of Georgia, the A&M athletic director. We begin with Scott Woodward, the LSU athletic director. And just to show you the difference in 52 weeks, Scott walked up here last year. His opening line was about two people that, with whom he has worked, two who were in the middle of the biggest feud in college football, both from West Virginia. And you're lying about, I'm not going to get in the middle of two West Virginia hillbillies fighting, made national news, and today nobody can remember the controversy.
So true, and I did stay out of that hillbilly fight.
Well, it's great to see you. Just back from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, where your women's basketball team was the talk of the town and the talk of Washington as well. What was that experience like?
That was fabulous, Paul. I mean, I was saying and seeing and observing. I mean, Angel Reese and Kim Mulkey are like rock stars. It's like Elvis is in the building, you know, showing my age here. But it was amazing just to see the reception that they had received and how well regarded they were. Everyone on the Hill wanted to see them, but everyone on the street wanted to see them too. So it was fun.
When it got to the big moment with the First Lady, were you holding your breath, or did you feel pretty confident that it would all work out well?
I figured it would have worked out well. I mean, you know, most stuff doesn't go awry there, except, you know, we have a poor student athlete who fainted. But other than the stuff was pretty well rehearsed, and I think it worked out very well.
Well, it seemed like it. And it made a lot of news, which is great for a university that is always in the news in this part of the country, but nationally, the women's basketball team has really been something to watch. Let's talk about some of the issues that are going on here, and I know you're in these meetings, and you've been in these meetings for a long time as the athletic director at a number of schools, including A&M and now LSU. You've also been in the world of compromise in the political world. You think these big issues that sports writers coming out here are talking about with bated breath between 8 versus 9 conference games will be resolved this week, or do you think we...
I think it will, and I think it's just a matter of it working out. I mean, in my belief, it's something to be discussed and gotten to. I mean, I've been a big supporter of 9 games all along and believed in it, but there's some things to resolve and things to get going, and we'll eventually get there. You know, the new members don't come until 24, so we have a little time, and I just think it'll be discussed and done properly at the end of the day. Greg Sankey does a hell of a job leading us in that direction.
Which brings me to the one of the other issues that we don't think about as fans, but you think about as somebody who's balancing a checkbook, well, a little bit more than that. Quality games, and fans are fickle. Even though LSU is one of the biggest brands in college football, you have to give them more for their money, so to speak. So how do you deal with that right now in terms of attendance when every game's on TV?
Paul, you've hit the nail on the head, because you and I have discussed this a lot. I think there is a tipping point where they've had enough of seeing the blowout games, non-conference games, and they really want to see good value for their money. They're paying a lot of money to see, you know, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, and they're just not so fired up about the weak non-conference opponents, and you see it week in and week out with the attendance, and they just do it because they know the good games are coming. And I just worry that there's a tipping point there.
And you folks study it, you and I first had this conversation many years ago when you were at A&M, and then COVID happened, and everything stopped, and then there was this people couldn't wait to get back. But we're now a few years past that. What are the issues with those games? I'm not talking about your top four, three or four games, but I mean, I walk out of programs on campuses or walk out of stadiums, and there's students. A lot of young people aren't even close to going to the games.
Sorry, Gates. You know, Paul, I can't speak for the people that are just dead set for the 8. I don't think it's as many as people think, but they have points that, hey, it's tough to get bowl eligible. It's tough to compete in our league, which is a meat grinder, and I get all that. I understand it. But at the end of the day, you know, I think my coach, Coach Kelly, our coach at LSU, really said said it best. Hey, look, I came in here to play the best and be with the best, and I want to give the fans the best. And I think it makes even more sense now that we're expanding the playoffs to have tough, good games, and you can lose two games and still make the playoffs.
And that's the dynamic that I think next year I know you folks are thinking about it. I'm not sure how many fans are calculating that. An eight-game schedule could be problematic, especially if you lose a big game and then you've played whatever. When I don't want to be disrespectful, because I run into athletic directors at airports and they say, well, you realize how difficult it is and how important it is. I really don't, but you do. But it means a lot for a small school, especially in your state, to play at Tiger Stadium. But that's not your job. Your job is to provide for your university, not to be helping everybody else.
And the good news for us, Paul, is we'll continue to do that, but we won't do it for an out-of-state small school.
Right.
Exactly. It's one of those things where, hey, still we have to fill our non-conference schedule with three other games, and one or two of them may be a Power 5, and then one maybe an in-state school.
How does the 12-team playoff affect the big game, the Power 5 games, in terms of what you're looking at? Because they are going to matter, are they not?
Oh, there's no question they are. And what's good about them is that I just think there might even be a three-loss team get in the playoffs. You could make a case for it, but definitely a two-loss team. And with it going to 12, I just think there's better and more opportunity, and there's not like this cause where if you lose a game, you're out. You can lose a game or two and then still be very competitive and good at the end and get in the playoffs.
Before you go, I want to talk about what I think is, as a fan of yours, one of the unique skills that you have, and there's no guarantee when you're making decisions on personnel, but it has been well established some of the hires you've made at previous schools, and clearly just recently, the Mulkey decision. It's hard to find a more impactful hire than that in a two-year period. Brian Kelly has completely turned the culture upside down. Baseball has been as high as number one in the country. I know you've seen a lot, and I'm asking this question that'll eventually have a question mark to it, but how do you do it?
You know, it's studying past history and what leaders have done to put good teams together. You know, U.S. Grant's one of my favorite generals, as is Eisenhower.
Wow.
And they coalesced, and they brought people together. You know, Tecumseh Sherman, the first president of LSU, was a hell of a general, fight general and he was better and smarter than Grant. Grant admitted that. Same thing with Eisenhower. You know, he had fighters in Patton, and he had thinkers in Bailey, and he had all these guys around him. And I just said, hey, man, I got to hire smarter and better people than me. And everyone goes, how do you know if they're smart? Well, Kim Mulkey was valedictorian at Hammond High. She was a smart gal besides a good athlete. And you hire smart, good people with proven records, and to me, it clearly comes through in the interview process.
And is there a critical moment as you're going through that process? Because you know the record. Everybody knows the records. But you have to make a call. And I don't know whether it's in your gut or it's on a piece of paper, but what puts you over the top on somebody?
Yes, it varies. You know, like I can tell you, and I'm going to embarrass him right now, Jay Johnson, our baseball coach, might have been the best interview I've ever done. I was stunned of how well-prepared and how good he was in the interview process. And I've interviewed a lot of good people. And other times, you just have gut instincts from the get-go that you know how it is. So it varies from case to case. I just can't tell you there's one method that does it. And, you know, I let my senior staff collaborate with me. I'm not in a box doing it by myself.
And finally, I know you have to use representatives. That's part of the industry. But you are one that, if you can get around the agent, so to speak, you will.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not afraid of them. You got to deal with them. You know, it's just that's the way you have to do it. You can see what's on their mind, and it's a trust thing, just like anything else in human interactions.
Well, your record is extraordinary, and it's always just such a pleasure to see you, Scott. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Scott Woodward, the director of athletics at LSU. We'll take a short break. We're not done. We have a long way to go here at the beach.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
And we are back live at the beach as day one of the SEC meetings is coming to a conclusion. The football coach is about to wrap up, and we'll talk to a few of them over the next few hours. Ross Bjork, the Texas A&M athletic director, joining us here beachside. Good to see you, Ross.
Good to see you, Paul.
We take off tomorrow, after tomorrow show. Okay. You guys are actually here to do the real business. How is the real business coming along?
Yeah, you know, today I think was a really productive day. Commissioner Sankey really just took time with just athletic directors, and we went over really high-level things. I mean, everybody's focused on football scheduling, which is very important. We need to figure that out at some point. But you really think about what's happening in the landscape of college athletics, going to Congress, the legal landscape, state by state, NIL laws that are all popping up, just the collegiate model, like what's our future hold? And so we really had a deep dive conversation in executive session on what should the SEC be doing, what can we be doing, what's the NCAA landscape look like. So a bulk of our day today, Tuesday, was really to talk about where's all this going and what is best for higher education, college athletics, our players, our coaches, our fans, like how do we just figure this out so that we can have college athletics for the next 50 to 100 years.
And Ross, on that front, you hear a lot of the same themes. You know, we need to go to Congress, we need to do here, but I'm hearing a lot today about state legislatures.
Right.
Everyone's looking at different initiatives. Right. What is there a one that you have looked at and feel is best for you and the league?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, in the absence of the NCAA having guidance, really, they have some guidance over NIL, but really, a couple years ago, a lot of that got pulled back, fearful of lawsuits, and so that caused, you know, California was the first NIL state law to be introduced. Well, that caused every state to say, well, what about our states? What about our universities? And the state-by-state race has now taken off. And so, to me, that's not sustainable, but it's the only option right now. Okay. Because we don't have a federal option. We don't really have national governing body standards that can really, you know, dictate a lot of this and regulate a lot of this. So that's been our only option. So I think the universities have taken the approach of how do we stay competitive? How do we work within our states? It's allowed to have a state law. And so we have to kind of work within that system right now. Eventually, we need national uniform standards that everybody can say, this is what college athletics is all about. Whatever that model is, we need those standards. That has to be Congress. I've asked the question numerous times of all kinds of experts, who can make that decision? And everybody points to our congressional body. And so that can come with a lot of attachments that may not necessarily, that we may not like per se, but that's what you do when you get into that political environment is you have to compromise, you have to find solutions. And right now we're in that environment, both statewide and also nationally.
Is there a better way to give more authority to individual schools where they at least, I mean, you're in the loop. I don't know how it works. I'm sure it's complicated. but it seems like, isn't that the best place for it to lie?
Yeah, you know, right now the biggest question has been how much should the universities be involved in, and I think we're just talking about NIL.
Right.
And 2 years ago we would say, you know what, we're hands off. That's between the market and the individual student athlete, the individual player. Now what we're saying is institutions need to be involved. There's too much at stake, I think, for the athlete, for the institution, that we can't take a hands-off approach. So the state laws that are now being enacted allow us to be more involved. Until there's, again, national uniformity, that's the place it has to be. It has to live state by state. And I know our commissioner doesn't like that. I don't think athletic directors necessarily like that. But it's the only pathway for now until we can get some national uniformity.
Talking to Ross Bjork, I was joking with somebody, with Scott a minute ago, about how what a difference a year makes. Last year, everybody was on tender hooks here with the controversy. That has gone away. It went away very quickly. Just let's talk about Jimbo Fisher as he faces a season that there is optimism. There's always optimism, but it feels different this year.
Yeah. You know, Coach Fisher has recruited at a higher level than any coach in Texas A&M history has recruited at. So, you know, the foundation is there for success. He retooled several pieces of the coaching staff, I think, to one, give him an offensive coordinator that he trusts. But also, these are CEO roles in modern-day college football. I don't know how many coaches gave up play calling duties this year, but Jimbo was one of them. But several other high-profile coaches, you just can't call plays anymore at this level and manage all the things you have to manage. So I think his freedom, his flexibility, his frame of mind, I've seen a lot of positive energy. Our spring practices were high intensity. We got facilities coming on board. We got a ton of momentum right now. Yeah, last year didn't go well. You know, 5-7. There's no Aggie. There's none of us that like that. Coach Fisher didn't like it. The coaching staff, the players. So I think they're hungry to really have a chip on their shoulder to come back, you know, high-flying with Coach Petrino on offense, Coach Durkin on defense. We've got a lot of talent coming back. Our production is back. And so I think a lot of us are just like, you know what, let's just go play. Let's just let loose and go play and have some fun this year.
I know the job of the athletic director is to hire people, and they have every right to, well, within reason, to hire their staffs. Yeah. But Bobby Petrino was different. I mean, everybody was talking about him. I saw you a couple of months ago, so I know where I'm going here, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
What was that like to deal with, and how has it gone for you?
Yeah, I tell you what, I was the athletic director at Western Kentucky for a couple years from 2010 to 2012, and the guy who succeeded me there hired Bobby Petrino as the head coach. And that was one of the first phone calls. When Coach Fisher brought his name up, Coach, obviously, we all did our background homework. And so I call Todd Stewart, and I said, Todd, and he goes, could not have been better to work with. Could not have been more humble. Took responsibility of what happened, was a family man, had his grandkids around, had his children around. I mean, he was at Missouri State, part of his family's coaching with him. I mean, you know, he's a family guy. And so the first time I met Coach Petrino, again, gracious, nice, you know, appreciative of the opportunity to be back at this level. That's really what the hunger was, hey, I want to be back. I want to prove myself at the highest level. Hey, maybe not the head coaching role at this level, but I want to prove myself. So it's been really fun just to watch him work with our quarterbacks, work with our offense. Again, no one can argue that the guy can call plays, right?
No,
and so
brilliant.
I think that's going to add a twist to our program that's going to be just fun to watch.
And the media, it's media talk, whatever that means. You know, Jimbo Fisher was never – but you know you work with this man every day and have for years.
Yeah.
How is he handling his own hire?
Yeah, no, it's been great. Like, again, you go on the – all you have to do is go on the practice field. We have 15 spring practices. I walk through the building. You look at the meeting rooms. You know, I would go in the football meeting rooms in the fall, and Jimbo's in there grinding away at film, right? I mean, he's game planning. He's the OC, right? He's calling plays. Now it's like, you know what? Now there's more flexibility for Jimbo. So what I've seen this spring is more freedom for Jimbo to look at the totality of the program. And then on the practice field, look, Jimbo Jimbo's intense on the practice field. That's not going away. But he can spot pick, like, does he want to go look at the defense a little bit? Does he want to go watch the running backs? Before, he was focused on the quarterback. So I think it allows him to see the whole picture, and that's what's going to be fun to watch moving forward.
I mean, I don't think in my life I've ever asked an athletic director about an offensive coordinator hire, but I don't remember an offensive coordinator hire that's gotten this much attention
right.
either.
That's right. Hey, a lot of attention on our program, which is all good. We'll take the notoriety, right?
Well, hope
here
it goes well.
That's right.
Ross, great to see you.
Absolutely.
Thank
you
very
much.
Ross Bjork joining us here, and we've had a fantastic conversation. We have a long way to go. I mentioned Brian Kelly in about 30 minutes, the president of the University of Georgia, one of the most influential people in intercollegiate athletics and academia, will join us next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and we appreciate all of you being here on a gorgeous afternoon. Just everybody calm and having fun at the beach. Not exactly the same story inside at the meetings. We've talked to a number of athletic directors and writers. We'll talk to some head football coaches in a few minutes. But right now, we welcome back to our program Jerry Moorhead, the president at the University of Georgia. Dr. Moorhead, thank you very much. We had a really nice chat with you last year, and you know, your position not only as a major leader in the SEC, but in college athletics and in academia. We appreciate you coming here.
It's great to be with you again.
Let's talk a little bit about Georgia for a second, and then we'll get to some of the more meaty issues on the docket for later in the week. But it has been an extraordinary time. Some of it difficult and tragic, but also a great success with Georgia literally being at the epicenter of the world of college football. What has this experience been like for you?
It's been a wonderful experience. Obviously, there were some tragedies, some challenges, but you learn, you grow from those experiences, and on balance, it's been another extraordinary year. Obviously, winning back-to-back national championships is something we're really proud of at the university, but we've had success across the board. I think we're going to finish in the top 10 of the Learfield Cup this year, which our athletic director, Josh Brooks, will be very happy about if that happens.
It is interesting because, I mean, we are fixated on sports, and I know a lot of people are, but you're leading a university that has so many different levels, and you know, not only locally and regionally, but internationally. But you hear the cliche that sports, and especially college football, is the door front, I think, of the university. I don't know if that's in some places. I don't know if that's really good, but at the University of Georgia, it seems like it's really given you so much exposure.
It's given us a lot of exposure. Of course, you know, we've been in the top 20 of U.S. News' rankings as an academic institution for the last 7 years. That's also given us a lot of exposure. And I think the two together really matter. When you are a powerhouse in academics and athletics, that attracts students. And we had nearly 44,000 applications this year for our freshman class.
That is extraordinary, and I may have mentioned this to you before, that I've yet to run into a Georgia student who who just doesn't keep wanting to stay because they love the experience so much, whether it's graduate school.
Well, we want them out after 4 years.
I know, but does anyone, I realize some, but what is the average stay of a student?
Well, we've actually are now at an all-time high on our 4 and 6 year graduation rate. So most of our students are moving along. Some like that fifth fall season, one more football season, but most of them finish up in 4 years.
That's pretty unusual.
And some of them with 2 degrees.
Even more. I don't know how I'm sure this is not that, maybe it takes a while to figure this out, but success academically obviously matters. I mean, there are some students that they want to go to a top 20 school, a top whatever school in their individual overall and in their field. From a football standpoint, do you notice a rise in applications?
Yes, some, particularly more out-of-state applications. Okay. The quality of our out-of-state applications is through the roof right now.
That is really interesting, and I know there's always this debate about, you know, football coaches and what they make, but successful ones do pay for themselves, don't they?
Well, certainly, we think we've got a good situation.
yours
with
does.
Kirby Smart. And, you know, I've known Kirby since he was a student of mine. He's doing a great job, obviously, as our head coach.
I want to go back to that because you told me, I think it may have been off the air, about what kind of student he was. Let's take it back a few years to your days as a teacher. I know you still teach, but when you first laid eyes on Kirby Smart, the student, not the, he was a football player, of course, but not the well-known football coach.
Very much the same personality, determined, fierce, very driven, excellent student, as he is an excellent coach.
How much can you see, Dr. Moorhead? I realize over time you get a good glimpse of a student depending on the class, but as somebody who's been doing this, when you see a student, can you tell much at that moment where you think that person is going?
You can, but you have to be careful not to, you know, prejudge the student. You have to give them a chance. But you learn a lot early on. Are they on time for class? Are they interested? Are they prepared? Do they ask good questions? So you learn a lot early on in a semester about a student.
We're talking to Dr. Jerry Moorhead, an absolute leader in academia and as well as one of the most influential people in intercollegiate athletics, especially in the SEC, where a lot of conversations this week have been going on. Whether it really is the topic inside there or not, it's been the topic over here, and that's in some ways prosaic, but also very important, this 8-9 as we make the move toward 24. You are part of the group that will be making the ultimate decision. What can you tell us?
So I'm sure each president will have a position on the issue, but in all honesty, for me, the person in the room that I'm going to be listening to is our commissioner, Greg Sankey. I think he is by far the most influential individual in intercollegiate athletics. I trust his judgment. I trust the advice he gives the presidents. So I'll be listening to what Commissioner Sankey has to say about this issue very closely.
And I'm particularly interested in that relationship because you have to have support among the president. I mean, it's kind of like a cliche, but the president's room is critical. I had a head coach tell me today that, as they always do, well, nobody listens to us. I think they do, but a lot of people listen to it. But
sure.
In terms of your relationship with Commissioner Sankey, and I know it goes back, and I know you are close, and he leans on you as well. You not only have an extended career in academia, you have a legal background, which I'm sure can help all people at various times. I'm not asking for the conversations, but how do these conversations come up, and how often do you and some of your colleagues converse with him?
Well, I'm also serving as chair of the Division I Board of Directors for the NCAA, so I talk to him a lot about national issues, NIL, other topics that we look at on a national basis. I just think Commissioner Sankey is someone who is well prepared on every issue, and he's given a lot of thought to every issue, and we are so fortunate to have him as our commissioner.
Before you go, President Moorhead, the NIL issue, the NCAA issue, I remember talking about it a year ago. The conversation goes on. Some of the pieces of the conversation change. Is there an easy, or is there no such thing as an easy way to explain where we are?
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic. Charlie Baker, our new NCAA president, is off to a terrific start. He's working the halls of Congress. We're attempting to get a reasonable piece of legislation developed and through the House and Senate. So I'm going to remain optimistic this year that we make some progress. But it's a steep hill. There'll be a lot of challenges along the way. But Charlie, along with Commissioner Sankey, I think we're all committed to getting something done, if that's at all possible.
President Jerry Moorhead from the University of Georgia, congratulations again on not only an amazing year athletically, but particularly academically. We always enjoy your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take a short break. We have a long way to go. Some of the head coaches and more athletic directors will join us. We may even try to work some of your calls in here as we continue with SEC spring meetings.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And this is what we have coming up here in the final hour. Billy Napier will join us. Sam Pittman, Hunter Yurecek, and Kirby Smart. I don't know why it was taking so long to say Kirby's name. Hey, welcome back. I was trying to call up some callers here, and I lost my screen right as I was going to them. So, guys, if you... So we'll start with Brian in Tennessee as we get to the calls for the first time.
Paul Feinbaum, I would like to see Alabama play Tennessee in an SEC championship game, and I'd like to see Alabama play the game in Birmingham, Alabama. That would be a great game. And I'd like to see Tim McGraw come to coach of Alabama football after Nick Saban leaves.
Well, I think Tim McGraw is a little bit busy right now with his career, but thanks anyway. Yeah, Brian, thank you. Appreciate the call very much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Let's go to Birmingham next.
Yes, sir. Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I am doing excellent.
Thank you, Brady.
How are you doing down at the beach, sir?
We're doing great.
Excellent. So I had a quick question for you. I live in Birmingham. I did not go to UAB, but I do have a question for you. Do you think in our lifetime we will ever see UAB join a Power 5?
I'm sorry. Right as you asked me the question, Brady, a helicopter flew over. You're asking me, do I think UAB would UAB ever be in the Power Five? Is that what the question was?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I do. I think it's entirely possible. I mean, UAB has everything you need to move up, except right now the league classification. But sure. They have the stadium. They have. Yeah, I think they have enough support. But I think there's still. I think they just need to watch, wait, and figure out what the next iteration of college football looks like, and that is really the challenge. Thanks for the call. Brian is up next. Hey, Brian. AC is up next.
Thank you so much for taking my call. How are you feeling, Mr. Feinbaum?
We're doing great, AC. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, since you're going to have Kirby Smart pretty soon, you should ask him, what's his motivation going into next season as they try to repeat, and how bad he's going to crush Alabama Crimson Tide? You know, all the beaches there enjoying, Mr. Feinbaum, all those Dolphins, they should come up to you and say, we love you, Mr. Feinbaum. And I would say, that's right. Keep acknowledging that, man. Feinbaum, you're doing a good job. Great interviews. You are the real Sapien. And thank you. Page 54 is my eye.
Thanks, AC. Bob is up next in Georgia. Hey, Bob. Good afternoon, Bob. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Bob, we are doing great.
Thank you. Commerce, Georgia, and just wanted to get your input and your critique on the University of Georgia's recruiting class for 2024. I saw recently you're going to have Kirby Smart on about 6:30.
Right. My evaluation, now again, what I'm telling you is not independent, because I am not a recruiting expert, Bob, but I do know a few people, and I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Georgia is on the verge, Georgia is on the verge of one of the best recruiting classes, if not the best of all time. That is what the so-called experts tell us. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Gage is up next in Louisiana. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bob. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you. Gage is next. Gage, you need to turn that radio down. Or TV, whatever you're listening to. Who we got? Who's next, Jamari? Harry is up next. Harry, go right ahead.
I was just gonna wonder, like, what Florida's gonna be doing next year with their offense.
I'll tell you what, if you could give me about 5 or 10 minutes, I'll ask the head football coach. Billy Napier will be here, and we'll let him describe what his quarterback room looks like. Right now, the fans are a little bit uneasy about it.
Oh, shoot.
Thank you for the call. Dave is up next in Houston. Hey, Dave, go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Just a couple questions. I know your network with the Longhorns and Sooners coming in the conference next year. Has there been any discussions on moving your show to Austin?
There's been no conversation about anything in relation to that next year. I realize it's a year and 2 or 3 months off, but I cannot imagine right now why we would move the show to Austin. Now, I like Austin, but...
What are you going to do for telephone lines when you add Oklahoma and Texas to the...
Well, we might have to add a few, but which we're capable of. But I think that would be more economically feasible, if I could sound like an economist here, than moving the entire show to Austin. But thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And there are a lot of new things. There are a lot of new things we are going to have to factor in when Texas gets here. I know everybody talked about Texas being pushy, but, I mean, they're already demanding that we move the show to Austin. Man, you had the Longhorn Network for 12 years, and how have you enjoyed that? Let's go to Grant next in Colorado. Hello, Grant.
Hey, Paul. Hey, first time. I just wanted to let you – I was just kind of curious. Like, I'm listening to all these guys call in. I'm kind of wondering if this is serious or not. A lot of guys just calling in and giving you a really hard time. I don't really see anyone giving any hard points or any kind of constructive criticism.
Well, I think most of these people, Grant, are serious.
Well, about what? We don't know, but it's okay. I mean, does anyone want to? I'll just end with this. Go Nuggets.
Thank you very much. That might be the first time we've ever had a Go Nuggets on the show.
Fort Collins, Colorado. Go Nuggets.
Bob is up next. Thanks, Grant. Bob is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Bob.
Hey, I got a question for you. How do you feel about the situation with the Alabama baseball team making it into the tournament, even though with the gambling allegations against them? And you don't know.
Well, let me answer that question quickly because we don't have much time. I feel great about it because based on everyone that we have spoken to, the issues were not the players. The players had nothing to do with this. The players had nothing to do with it. It was all on the head coach. He has been dispatched, and that is gone. Let me quickly mention Brian Kelly was scheduled to be here a minute ago. He is still in a meeting, so we will talk to Coach Kelly in about an hour. So that's why some of those of you waiting for Brian Kelly will have to, unfortunately, wait a little bit longer. We've got a big show on tap the final hour. We hope you'll stick around. We got Coach Napier in a moment. Coach Pittman joining us. Connor Hunter, Juracek, Kirby Smart, and Brian Kelly.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.